dismissed. 1 Corinthians 15 is probably one of the greatest resurrection texts. And I often read at gravesides from 1 Corinthians 15, several verses of scripture toward the end of the chapter. We're going to read this morning, beginning with verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. From since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was reading about a small submarine that sunk off the coast of Cape Cod. This was back in 1927, before all of our time, or at least most of our times here this morning. But as it was trying to come up out of the water, it collided with another ship, actually a Coast Guard destroyer. And as a result, the submarine was damaged and began to sink. It sank with six sailors on board that submarine. There was no way to get to them, certainly in 1927. They could not. They didn't have the equipment, the expertise, or the know-how to go down and to salvage these six men. And so even though they tried, and divers were trying, and everyone was trying, they couldn't reach them. They couldn't get to them, and they couldn't salvage the circumstance there. Some of those divers that were down there, they could put their ears up against the side of the submarine, and they could communicate with Morse code. The last communication that came from one of those six men was these words: "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" Of course, sadly, there was no hope, and all six of those men perished. I think that question is a question that a lot of people are asking today. Is there any hope? We live right now in a generation, even in America, that's supposedly a post-Christian America. It used to be not too many years ago that the things of God, the Word of God, prayer, all of these things that as Christians we believe is important, all of these things were just a normal part of the American experience. Not so now. We live in a post-Christian America. And that's why we have a whole generation today of younger people. They're called the millennials. Some call them the hopeless generation. I would never use that terminology to describe any generation, because we know that in Jesus Christ there's always hope, no matter what the circumstance might be. But what's happened is there's been the removal of Christ, the removal of the Bible, the removal, you know, all these things have been stripped away. Morality and absolute truths and all of these important values that are the foundation of what we are and what we believe. And so it's left a whole generation, that group that they call the millennials, is those that were born in 1980 and 1990, those that are between the ages of 15 and 29. That group of people are a group of people today that many all over the world, they don't know what to do. They don't have any hope for their life. They are struggling knowing what to do and how to work in their life. The World Economic Forum estimates that 40% of the planet's young people, 40% of the planet's young people are not employed or enrolled in school. 40% of this group of people, I'm talking about a generation coming on right now that is living without hope. And I want you to be reminded here this morning that anyone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, there's just no hope outside of Him. The only hope is in the Lord. Ronald Reagan said, "We will preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness." Let me tell you, there's nothing but darkness, hopelessness, doom ahead for those without Jesus Christ. And there has to be a return to God. In America, there has to be a return back to the Bible, a return back to the principles that we believe and we know to be true. And if there has ever been a time when there must be this kind of return, we're experiencing that right now. There needs to be a spiritual awakening and a people returning to the Lord. And so on an Easter Sunday, on a Resurrection Sunday, we need to allow God to speak to our hearts, to help us to see that the times are critical and that there is an answer, but the answer is Jesus. If the answer is in a resurrected Savior, that's the only hope for the world that we're experiencing right now. The text that we read this morning from 1 Corinthians 15, it says that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then our preaching is vain. We're wasting our time preaching and proclaiming the gospel. It says that if Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, then our faith is in vain. Everyone here that's put your confidence in the Bible and in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's all a waste of time. It's all vanity if He did not come out of the grave. Verse 15, it says that your faith is really like a delusion. It's not the truth, because you become a false witness. You have lied. You have put your trust and your claim upon the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, then your faith is just a lie. It's just a delusion. And none of these things have any merit or any value if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another verse there says, you're still in your sins. You see, we can't do anything about our own sin problem. We were born in sin. Our nature was bent towards sin. There's not one thing you can do about the fact that you are a sinner, except by turning to Jesus Christ. Only the resurrected Jesus has the power to set men free from their sin. Only He can do that. You cannot do better. You can't determine to try harder. It's going to take an experience and an encounter with the resurrected Lord for you to be saved. If Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, then those that put their trust in the Lord generations past and have already been buried, they have died without any hope. But we know that's not the truth. We know that those that have been placed in the grave, that there is a hope and that there is a confidence that's not the end. The grave is not the end. You see, for Christians and for the church, the resurrection is everything. It's everything. All that we have and all that we believe in, it all hinges upon the fact of the resurrection. Now, when you look to the Word of God, the book of Romans says that He is the God of all hope. To this hopeless generation today that has everything stripped away from them, anything that they could ever put any confidence in, the only hope is God. He is the God of all hope. Hebrews chapter 6, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, the only thing that gives you any confidence, anything that you can really trust in and depend upon, is the fact, the reality of the fact that Jesus came forth out of the tomb. Praise God. And because of that, we can stand with confidence, and we can come into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord and sing praises unto God. And it means something, because truly He is alive and He is our stability. Amen. The hope and the anchor of our soul. Amen. And you know, and this hope that we have in Jesus is also what stirs up a curiosity to those around us in the world. Because they're hopeless. If they see in you that you have hope and that you can face whatever you face in life, but you still have confidence, you still have faith. Isn't it an amazing thing that you can see people go through terrible sicknesses, all kinds of overwhelming problems, and even the loss of loved ones, and still we come through that and we survive it with confidence. Sure, we grieve and we're sad over the loss of loved ones, but at the same time we can rejoice in the midst of all of that grief, because we know there's eternal life and we know it's been provided for us through Jesus Christ, because He was able to conquer that last enemy, death. Praise the Lord. It stirs the interest of those that are around us. That's why it's important that Christians not always be, not or ever be down in the mouth, down and discouraged and, you know, hopeless. I see some Christian people that this looks like, you know, I feel sorry for them. They seem so unhappy and like everything is going against them. Let me tell you, you've got so many reasons to be happy and to be glorifying and praising the Lord, and the world is watching you. And Peter says that you need to be ready to give an answer of those who ask of you the hope that lies within you. You need to be able to give to them an answer concerning the very thing that's going on in your Christian experience. But what I want to get to here this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a lively hope. That's the King James. Most of the other versions just say it's a living hope. It's a living hope. And today, we're not talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago that's just in the history, something for us to talk about historically that's happening or did happen. But we know that Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and so we have a living hope today. We have hope. And that's why I'm calling this morning, Hope is Still Alive. No matter what it is you're up against, no matter what you're struggling with today, you may be bound by addictions, you may be struggling with family issues or all kinds of problems, health issues. It really doesn't matter what you're struggling with today. Jesus came out of the tomb and the hope is alive today. Amen. Hope is alive. Whatever you're praying about, whatever the burden of your heart is today, your greatest longing, your greatest desire, I want you to know that your hope is a living hope. You have not put your hope in a Jesus that cannot help you. He can and He will minister to you and help you no matter what you're experiencing today. This is the cornerstone of what we believe, our Christian doctrine. I think Brother Bowman in Sunday school this morning mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned. It's a prominent fact of history, even to the point that even our calendar is divided by the before Christ and then the Latin word that means in AD, which means in the year of our Lord. Everyone in the world lives by the calendar that was affected by and divided by the fact of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even the deniers, even those who would be agnostic and unbelievers, they still have to acknowledge at least to some degree that Jesus is alive. and that he's the most prominent figure in history, and he's changed the lives of people. And the most wonderful proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fact that there are Christians here, there are Christians all over the community, there are Christians all over the state and all over this nation and all over the world who are worshiping a resurrected Lord today. Amen. If Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, the disciples, they would have stayed in hiding. The Bible says they were hiding for fear of their life. Something happened that caused them to throw off all of the fear and all of that they were experiencing. Something happened that caused them to turn into this dynamic group of followers of Jesus Christ who marched right out of their hiding places and to begin to proclaim Jesus is alive. Let me tell you, they were afraid. They were afraid for their life. And the only thing that could have brought them out of their hiding places was the fact that they met him face to face. They saw him. Some of them touched him. They experienced him. Hundreds of disciples saw him. More than 500, it says there in the book of Acts, saw him at one time. And so everything was changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whenever Peter stood up to preach that first message there in Acts chapter 2, he gave the premise of his message that day. It's in the book of Acts where he described the fact that Acts chapter 2, 24, whom God hath raised up. He actually pinpointed the Jews that were listening to him and said, you're the ones that crucified him. You crucified him, but God raised him up out of the grave, having loosed the pains of death, because, and actually this is my most favorite resurrection verse. Acts chapter 2, 24. Having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. They put him in the grave. They put him behind this large stone. They put the Roman soldiers there and the seal of the Roman government there. They wanted to make sure he never got out of that tomb. But the Bible says it was not possible for him to be held in that place. Amen. He was the Son of the living God. He was going to come forth out of that tomb, and he did in victory. And today, we do not serve a God of the past. We serve a God who is alive today and hope's alive right now. Amen. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever your burden is, I want you to be encouraged today to understand that Jesus Christ is living right now, and he's able to help you. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. I doubt if there are any atheists or agnostics here today. But if there were any, the resurrection is coming. The resurrection of the dead is coming whether you believe it or not. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Everyone, whether they believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. They can turn away from God and reject God and reject the Bible, turn away from these wonderful truths. It won't change anything. You can either be resurrected unto this wonderful resurrection of life, or you're going to be resurrected unto damnation. I tell you, we serve a God who's interested in every individual, every circumstance, and he will help you. Another favorite resurrection verse is Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the question. Have you been born again of the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. If it dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, your physical body. Amen. Not only in the resurrection, not only at the time that you are, your body is laid out there in a grave, but I believe that the Spirit of God, whenever you become a Christian, the Bible is clear that the Spirit of God dwells within you. And then whenever you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you receive this wonderful fullness of the Holy Ghost in your life. And that experience, that quickens you. That makes you alive. That caused the church to become a force for God. It causes every Christian to have power with God, to be able to be used of the Lord, and to see God working mightily in your behalf. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but this is good news. This is good news for a world that's in a mess, for a world that's in a hopeless a circumstance. This is good news for people who searching and wondering, and for a whole generation, even this coming up generation, the godless or the hopeless or the millennial generation, in all of the circumstances that surround their many needs, this is good news for them. Amen. That Jesus Christ is alive today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I thank the Lord for the fact that, all of my life I've been in church, raised up in church, and I have been around, and Easter Sunday is like the highlight of the year. Whenever Easter rolls around, that's important. I know a lot of people have other days that they assume are very important days. Nothing more significant than the celebration at this time of the year, the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. That we worship and that we give glory to God. It's an amazing thing that out of those that came to Jesus Christ, those 12 disciples, it was the resurrection that caused those 12 insignificant people who were just normal fishermen, tax collectors, without a lot of natural ability or education, but something gave to them the power and the ability to turn the world they lived in upside down. That had to be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No other event has impacted the world as much as the fact of that day when Jesus came up out of the tomb. Glory to God. Amen. And then the life of Jesus, you know, he never wrote down anything. Most people, if you think about it, that you know of them historically, it's because they wrote. They were writers. They say that John Wesley, who wrote volumes and volumes, we know much more about Wesley, about his doctrine and his teachings. But there were others who were very well known, such as Whitfield, who was as well known and affected as many people in his generation, but he didn't write. He wasn't much of a writer. And so we don't have the historical record of the things that were going on. Do you know that Jesus didn't write down anything that we know of? As far as we know, he didn't write anything, but there have been more books, more volumes that have been written about Jesus than any other single figure in all of history. Amen. Jesus never wrote a song. I know a couple of times the Bible says that he prayed a prayer and sang a hymn, but he never wrote a song. But there have been more songs, hymns, worship songs, praise songs, gospel songs that have been written about Jesus Christ than any other subject or any other figure in all of history. How do we explain all of this? Only one answer. The fact of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. That is changed the whole world. The whole world is changed because of that. Now, a lot of people want to silence the message of the gospel. They want to silence the ministry of the church. They want to act like that it's all foolishness and it's all just a religious thing. But there's no denying, historically, in any way, there's no way to deny the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. Hallelujah. Amen. And for those of you here today, I just wanted to encourage you with that little phrase, hope is still alive today. Hope is still alive because I know that everyone goes through discouraging times and depression and fear and questions. You don't know what's going on or why you're facing some of the things that you are. Hope is still alive. Amen. Jesus is the answer to that situation that you're in. No matter what that it is, and I want you to be encouraged today in the fact and the reality that Jesus is living today. One professor, a Yale University professor, who most of those guys in Ivy League colleges are agnostics or atheists, but this professor made this statement. He said, there are three things that I could never believe. Number one, that God would create a world like ours and then turn his back on it. Number two, that he would create man and then desert him at the grave. Number three, that he would plant a desire for immortality in the human heart and fail to provide a realization of that desire. There's one Yale professor who's getting it right. Amen. Amen. He got it right. The answers to those questions is that Jesus did provide hope. He did provide hope. And for all of you here today, I don't know your life. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. I don't know your spiritual experience. But I do know he changed me. And there's a lot of others that can testify today of the fact that Jesus turned their life around. And he can do that for you as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for the wonderful, wonderful truth that you are alive. And Lord, I thank you that this very day that you are a living Savior. And that same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the tomb is the Spirit that can quicken us today. And I ask you, Lord, just by your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of men and women and young folks, everyone a part of this service today. Would you speak to them, open their hearts, and help them to see, Lord, that hope is truly alive even today, and that they haven't lost hope, but in you, Lord, there's an answer. In you, Lord, there is hope. And I just pray, Lord, that you would minister confidence and that faith would rise up in the hearts of people today. And just as those disciples who saw you face to face left their hiding places and began to go out to proclaim, I pray those, Lord, that are living in fear and doubt and unbelief today because of their life circumstance, I pray, Lord, that they could have an encounter with you today and walk away from that experience with a newfound confidence. Thank you, Lord. You're alive and you're working among us here today, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.